Will you open your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew chapter 24? Matthew chapter 24. We have been dealing, well, we had a long break there between the end of November all the way through December, but we were dealing with written and read. Now, chronologically, I'm not starting back there yet. I have something else on my heart. On Wednesday, a few Sunday nights ago, before Brother T.D. came, I shared with the church who was here on Wednesday night what I feel like the Lord have us to emphasize all of this year, and that is one word, ready. Be ye also ready. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture here about that in just a moment, make several comments. Be ready. Are you ready? Most of you were working hard getting ready for Christmas, and now it's over with. Now you're trying to make sure you got everything down if you haven't already got it down. Now you're getting ready. I hate to even say the word. Some of you are getting ready for tax season. And wouldn't it be good if the Lord came before April 15th? Say amen. Thank the Lord. But at any rate, ready. Are you ready? Brother Gary mentioned about if the Lord came, that the Bible class would meet 101 in heaven. Amen, class 101 in heaven. But sometimes we forget about that reality. There's been times and season of the church where certain ministries are emphasized, the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, and then some others. There are times of great evangelism thrust. And then there were times when there was a great emphasis on Bible prophecy. I remember Brother Burke that was here for some length of time. He got saved when he heard a study on the book of Revelation. God dealt with his heart. I remember Dr. Wilbur McBride, who came with us for many years. He's in heaven now, too. And he was an airman in the Air Force over in Germany. And he was invited to go to a Bible study. And they were studying about Bible prophecy. And God, the Holy Ghost, got a hold of his heart, and he got saved. And I want to remind you once again that we are instructed in the Bible to be ready. Now, I have a lengthy amount of Scripture I wanted to read to begin with. I may condense it just a little bit, but I want you to follow with me. I shared this passage of Scripture with those who were here on a Wednesday night not long ago, but Matthew chapter 24. Now, if you come to the Bible Institute, they'll help you to understand some of the arrangements of the Word of God and the emphasis of them. And there are some who say that this passage of Scripture I'm going to read to you now is referring to Israel, particularly during the tribulation period, but it's certainly good to apply it to us, the truth of it. And I believe there's a truth here. Sometimes I do as a pastor, assume you know a lot of things. And yet we've got new Christians. We've got people who've never even been in church very much. And we use words and throw out words that some people don't know. I want to take a few minutes this morning to kind of draw a few things together to help us to challenge to be ready. In Matthew chapter 24, I'm going to begin. As you know, this is what's called the Olivet Discourse, and it's a long, where all the words of Jesus in red in this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to kind of begin in the middle of it, actually. He's made reference, I believe, to the nation of Israel. 1948, Israel became a nation again. This just past year, Israel turned 70 years old. What's happened in Israel is phenomenal. You and I don't get to see it on the national news. Those who have been to the Holy Land. And by the way, the Lord willing, we're going to go in November with Brother Ralph, and we'd like for a lot of you to go with us. Ralph, this will be, I believe, Ralph's 55th trip, teaching trip, to the nation of Israel. 55 different trips he's made over there. He pretty well knows what he's talking about, and he's got a wonderful rapport with the Arabs and with the Jews there in Israel. And you'll be blessed. I'm looking forward to it, and I hope that many of you go with us. But as we come to this point in time, where are we at on God's clock? I love that song that Brad sings about the midnight cry, midnight, 12 midnight. Where are we at in God's clock? Well, I want to pick up the reading here in the middle of this, but notice what he says, that he admonishes us in regard to the hour we're living in. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also so shall also the coming of Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. They're in just a normal lifestyle. Now, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. The Bible said he preached 120 years. And so those, at least in that locale, had heard the message. The phenomena, what he was doing was building that ark. Some of you have been to see the ark. Others are going. And it's hard for you to imagine how massive it is. That's built pretty much the scale there. And those who've been to see the ark, the replica of the ark, say that you better be ready to walk because it is huge. It's massive. But they heard the message, but they rejected the message. It's kind of like water off a duck's back. They'd heard it so much, like in 1 Peter where it said that in the last days there'll be scoffers and men who say, where's the promise of his coming? It said, since the fathers fell asleep, we've heard this, and he's not come yet. But he's telling you, he's warning you here, you need to be ready. And notice he said it's going to be just like in the days of Noah. All of a sudden, the fountains of the deep were open. All of a sudden, the windows of heaven were open. And just a matter of moments, the whole world was flooded. And everything in whose nostrils were the breath of life died, except Noah and those that were within him in the ark. God's judgment fell just that quick. Now notice, as we pick up the reading and go on, verse 39, and they knew not till the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 40, then shall two be in the field, and the one shall be taken and the other left. And two women shall be grinding at the meal, and one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He's challenging us to be ready for the return of the Lord. Ready for the return. I want to skip down just a little bit and notice what happens as he begins to relate this to their current everyday living. And he said, who then is a, verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord may make ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. He's admonishing us in these last days not to be weary in well-doing, but to be busy about doing what God called us to do. Now, many of you, very few of you in full-time ministry, but you're a full-time Christian. And God has a ministry for you. Brother T.D. challenged us over and over again in the revival, how long has it been since you led someone to Christ? How long since you wept and had a burden for somebody? How long since you brought somebody to the house of God, praying that God would speak to their heart? And we get in such a routine and we get so tied up in everything that Christ and His church and His work and His ministry fall behind. And that takes second place in our life. But if we're going to be ready, he said, blessed is that one when he comes, he finds him so doing. That is, busy about the Lord. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. In other words, it's not imminent, not soon. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and to drink with the drunkards. The Lord of that servant shall come in that day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and upon his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, with that read, I want to just kind of relate something in chapter 25. Brother Brad, almost a year ago in August, I guess, when I was out in Wyoming, I heard him preaching on this about the 10 virgins here. Five were wise and five were unwise. Now understand that the division of chapters and verses was added around 1250 and not when it was originally written. And so this all is a continuation. And so he's talked about being ready. And then he said, if you think the Lord's not coming, you begin to be unkind to one another. You quit serving the Lord. You get, you know, you don't expect him to come. And so then he says this. And he talks about also the kingdom of heaven is like the virgins. Now, here's what I want you to understand. there were 10 wise. They had oil. The 10 unwise did not have oil. And Brad explained it real well. The oil represents the Holy Spirit of God. And the wise in this story are those who had received the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you ask Christ to come in your heart, what happens? The Holy Spirit of God comes in your heart crying, Abba, Father. And you have oil on the inside of you. But if you notice, even them, their oil ran out. Their light went out. Now, that didn't mean they lost their salvation. It means they lost their witness. It means that they got to the place where they were not where they ought to be with the Lord. And so here they trimmed their lamp and then they reignited their lamp and they were welcomed by the bridegroom. There's always a possibility that in the hour that you're living in, you can doze off spiritually. There's always a possibility that you get to the place where you're not tuned to the Lord. You're not anticipating His return. You're not anxious about His coming and you're not busy about His service. Now, we don't serve the Lord because we're fearful of His return. We serve the Lord because we're anxious about His return. Now, look a little further. He then begins another part of this parable, and he talks about the man who goes on a far journey, and he gives out talents to different, in this case, talents is money. And he gave one five, and he gave one two, and then he gave one. And then when he comes back, he reckons with them as to who got what. Now, I'm not going to read all that. I just want to give it to you quickly. And so here they are. They have an area of responsibility. One has five talents, one has two, and one has one. And what he gave them to work with, he expects a return on that. He expects them to profit, be profited. But when he came back, the one who had five had doubled his. And he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the one who had the two, he doubled his. And so he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But the one who had one said, I was afraid and I hid it. I wouldn't do anything. And he rebukes him because of that. Now, keep those things in mind. Here's the man who thinks Jesus is not coming soon. And so he doesn't have a good relationship with the saints of God. Here's another group over here that he's admonished him in light of the return of the Lord. There's some things you need to be careful about the Holy Spirit. And then over here is a group of people when he talks about, he's given them certain things that they're responsible for. And it was his talent he gave to them to be used, and they were to be good stewards. Now, will you bow with me for just a moment of prayer? Father, I pray the Holy Spirit of God to help me now. Lord Jesus, I need you. I need your anointing. Thank you for the singing of the choir, Brother Bob, and the congregation. God, for this great crowd in this morning, for our friends in the media audience and the radio and internet. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost would speak this morning. God, if we were to have the very presence of God to come, if the Lord Jesus Christ Himself would come, God, I want to hear you just as directly this morning. I want you to speak through me just as directly and to this group. Our Father, help us. There's so many things that preoccupy our time and our mind and our effort. And our Father, the devil makes sure that we're too busy to serve God. He makes sure that we, Lord, even we've got so many things that we don't have time to serve God. But Lord, I believe you're coming again. And I believe it is imperative that we be ready. And Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would speak to the saints and to those who may not know Christ. And Father, I pray, God, for your anointing. Lord, you'll have to do it. God, apart from the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, nothing of eternal consequence will take place here today. But God, you can speak to hearts and your word will not return void. God, you can put the word in the heart of some lost person. And I pray, God, it will bring increase and that they'll be saved. I pray, God, for the saints of God, that you'll challenge them. And Lord, and as you challenged me, and God, I pray that we'll be doers of the word, not hearers only. God, I pray what you speak to us about, that, Lord, we will do. God, help us in 2019, our Father, to be busy about the Master's business. And we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We need to be ready. Why? Because of the shortness of the hour. You know, when you look at in time, we go to the book of Genesis, and Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. That's where we enter on the scene. That's where we find ourselves, right here. Clara, can you come here and help me right quick? Are you holding a baby or anything? Clara, come here. Brother Jimmy, will you come?
Amen.
And Claire, I'm going to get you to stand right by me for just a moment. Brother Jimmy, you're going to be in Genesis. You look like you'd be in Genesis. I love you. Here's time, Genesis, in the beginning. And then there are 4,000 years in Old Testament history. And here's that 4,000-year span, and you got all the prophets there, the Psalms, and all the historical books of the Old Testament. And that's when God was preparing, and everything was leading toward one event, and that was the coming of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this time period here is where we have about 4,000 years of time. Now, that's the actual time frame. Now, some people would take creation and make it a lot longer or whatever, but I believe that when you time it out, it works out to be about 4,000 years of time that happened. And the Bible said, in the fullness of time, God sent His Son. And so right here is where Jesus Christ came to be born. And then the Bible says that when he was born, that he lived about 33 years, and then he died. And Shia, come stand with me right here. I'll get my grandbabies up here. Praise God. And thank you, Shia. And so when you have the Old Testament time, and then when the Lord Jesus Christ came to be born, then there's a time frame of what's recorded in the gospel. And it's not a very long time. But then at the end of that, the Lord Jesus Christ died. He died in that time period, about 33 years of life. He was buried and resurrected. Now, here's the astounding thing. Everything from Genesis all the way through the Old Testament, all the way through the Gospels, was focused on this one event, the death and burial resurrection of Christ. But now, here's the thing. There were many prophecies about the Old Testament, about the nation of Israel and all those things. Every one of them came true. About the coming of the Assyrians, about the coming of Babylonians, everything happened. There were many prophecies of the Bible that told about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to be born in Bethlehem, to be born of a virgin. And all the Old Testament prophecies about that, of His first coming, came absolutely true. But now there's more to the story. After He was buried and resurrection, He ascended back to the Father. But He told His disciples that they were to be busy. They were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the Bible said, and He was taken up in a cloud. And the angels came and were standing there. And they spoke to those men and said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. Now, when is He coming? Well, we don't know. This is what's called the dispensation of grace. There's not really a time period for that. Charles, well, you got the baby. Don't, Brother Ricky, come help me stand right here. From the time that Christ died, was buried, and rose again, He ascended back. And now there's a time when He's coming back. Let me get you standing right here. Brother Ricky represents an occurrence in history. He said, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, what? The Son of Man cometh. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number, chapter number 4, rather, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and following, we have what I believe to be the rapture of the church. That means that it means catching away. And we believe that because of this. It said the Lord Himself should ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds. Now, that's spelled out really clearly in the Bible. You don't have to be a Greek scholar to understand it if you read it. It said one of these days Jesus Christ is coming again. And when He comes, those who've died and gone on, their bodies are going to be resurrected. And Paul said, and then we who are alive remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to be translated out of here. I mean, some of you in this building, and I hope maybe most of us in this building, will never die a physical death. Because if Jesus were to come right now, every saved person in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we'll be changed, and we'll be caught up together to meet our loved ones in the air, those who have in the clouds, those who have been resurrected, and that brand new body they receive, their body and soul reunited, and we meet them in the clouds, and we meet the Lord. He's coming back. In the book of Matthew, chapter 24, it says this: not only is that coming going to be sudden, in the hour that you think not, but He said this. He said, it's going to be a separating type coming. because he said one will be taken and one left. Who gets to go in the rapture? Just those who are saved. He's coming back again for those who are saved. And we'll be caught up together to meet our loved ones in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. Now, how long before this is going to happen? Well, there's no time frame in the Bible for this particular. As a matter of fact, there is for what's going to follow, which is called the Great Tribulation period. Daniel chapter 9 explains that. That's about a 7-year period. But when's Christ coming again? No man knows the day nor the hour. There's really not any way to calculate it except to discern the times. Now, he did say this in the book of Hebrews. He said, don't forsake the assembling yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How many of you honestly in your heart feel like that things are changing so rapidly that you believe, from what you believe about the Bible, that Jesus Christ is coming soon? Raise your hand. You believe that? Absolutely. I do. Now, that's a biblical thing. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together so much the more as you see the day approaching. Because in the last days, there will be a sensitivity in the heart of believers that Jesus is coming. We don't know when, but we believe He's coming, and we are to be ready. Thank you, guys. Thank you for helping me this morning. We're in the end part of that, I believe, with all my heart. Just right where Ricky was at, where the Lord comes back, I believe we're right there down to that. I believe we're right at the instant of His return. And there's so many scriptures in the Bible that admonish us about the return of the Lord. I want to just read a few things, though, related to what I've just read to you. Go over to the book of Romans, if you will. Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter, in light of His return, that He is coming again, we ought to be ready. And He says in chapter 13 of the book of Romans, verse number 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness or in chambering or wantonness, not in strife or envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He's challenging those Christians to walk with God, be aware of the fact the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, and be ready. Live for God. It's high time now for us to wake. It's time to wake up and get out and recognize what God wants us to do and to be faithful to Him in all things. Turn over to the book of Titus, if you will, in Titus chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and then you'll find the little book of Titus in chapter number 2. Got to go through Timothy first, I'm sorry. And so when you come to the book of Titus, I want you to look here in chapter number 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11, he says this, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now watch this. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Watch. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of a great God and Savior, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Paul's challenging in this passage of Scripture that Jesus is coming again. And because He's coming again, and because that He's coming in the rapture, you and I need to live for God. We don't need to live in the fleshly desires, in sin. We need to be ready, not have anything between our soul and the Savior. Be busy about the Master's business and do exactly what He would have us to do and to love and serve Him. Now, turn over. You say, Brother Billy, why should I do that? Look in the book of 1 John. Going towards Revelation now, find the book of 1 John and chapter number 2. 1 John and chapter number 2. And I want to look at just one verse, verse 28. Verse 28. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Do you understand? Jesus is coming again. And here the writer of John says, you need to be faithful to God, live for God. And he, another passage of scripture in John chapter 5 of this same book, he says, those who have the hope of his coming purify themselves, keep themselves pure. They live for God in the last days because he's coming again, and not be ashamed at his coming. I wonder, in this past week, have there been any particular time when you were thinking something that, bam, Jesus had showed up, you would have been ashamed? I wonder if you were anywhere in this past week and doing anything that if Jesus came, you would have been ashamed when he came. He's coming again. And when he's admonishing these not to be ashamed at his coming, the emphasis and the inference is this, that there will be some who are ashamed. There'll be some when Jesus comes that they'll be red-faced at the return of the Lord because of the way they're living, because of their lack of faithfulness. Now, with all of that said, what are some areas that I have to be careful about and you have to be careful about? I just read the scriptures to you hurriedly. Number one, he says, be ye therefore ready for such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. And then he begins to talk about the relationship of saint to saint, servant to servant. The Bible said we're to love one another, care one for another, forgive one another, not to have any problem. God's people ought to be in harmony. Somebody in the men's prayer breakfast yesterday morning quoted the scripture, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, you have love one to another. In the hour we're living in, if we're getting ready for Jesus to come, we're going to love the saints of God. We're going to love the house of God. We're going to love the people of God. We're not going to have any bickering or infighting. We're not going to have any jealousy or bitter feelings. We don't have anything between the saints of God where there's disunity. We want to be right with God. We want to be loving one another, encouraging one another, and be a blessing one to another, have a right relationship. You know, if you miss services, well, we had a great revival. And it was just an unusual revival. God really blessed Brother T.D. and helped him. And he helped me, spoke to my heart. But I sensed just such a family spirit. I sensed such a presence of God, a binding. I felt like there was a sense of spirit of unity in God's people. And, of course, it's around here most all the time. But I'm going to tell you, in the hour we're living in, I don't think it's an accident that God stirred Brother Calvin once again and those who've been so faithful to work in the care ministry to have such a burden about care ministry. Because you know what he's going to look at? One thing he's going to look at when he comes back, according to what I've just read to you, be ye also ready. And then he said, and it's those who say he's delayed his coming, they begin to smite one another. They begin to mistreat one another. They don't love one another, don't care one for another, they don't encourage one another. And one of the discouraging things that you can do for the saints of God is to be unfaithful to the house of God. You'd be surprised how many times we have something around here, and invariably, as I'm going around shaking hands with people, somebody asks me, where's everybody at? Where's everybody at tonight? Boy, it's something just have the whole crowd together. One thing about Christmas is just the gathering. I'll thank God for the food, and thank God for the lights, and thank God for everything, but it is that family circle being completed, having everybody there that can possibly get there. And that's the same way it is when you come to the house of God. Listen to what he said in Hebrews. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Now, I thank God for all of our ministers. I love the internet ministry, and Tim and I have talked about it, and Brad and Jim and all the other guys. That we want to do so many more things in 2019 with the media ministry. There are people right now watching us in Tennessee. There are people right now watching us up in Virginia. There are people down in Florida who are watching us. Sometimes there's somebody, I don't know, somebody in Arizona that picks us up, I think, fairly regularly. I don't know who all these people are or where are they coming in at. But I can just tell you this, I thank God for that medium. But I want to encourage you, that medium is for people who cannot get here. Those who can't be here in person. He didn't say in that scripture, don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together until you get, you know, internet service. the internet ministry is not a substitute for church. You ought to be here physically every time you can. You know, I thank God for it, and we're going to increase it. We're going to reach more people with it. But I want to encourage you. I've been in the hospital. I've been where I couldn't be here. I watch it, and I always love it. But it's not the same as being here. You don't get to shake hands. You don't get to hug necks. You don't get to share words. You don't get to see smiles like you really do when you hear a person. And your relationship with one another is so important to be ready to love God's people, love the house of God, love the people of God. The second thing in that same context that he was talking about was the Holy Spirit. He said in the book of Ephesians, to redeem the time. Be not unwise, but redeem the time. And then the next verse says, be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How is it, whatever length of time we got between right now and when Jesus comes back, that we can utilize our time and our talent? What is it we need more than anything else? We need the Holy Ghost God filling. When you get saved, the Spirit of God came in you. He cried, Abba, Father, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so every believer has the Holy Spirit of God living inside, but every believer is not filled with the Holy Spirit. That means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, just like somebody's controlled by alcohol, that the Holy Spirit of God's controlling you. And watch, if He's admonishing us to do that, and if you did an equation, you know, if you did like an algebra equation, the X factor in any equation of whether you get a well done and thou good and faithful servant is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, if you pray in the Spirit, if you sing in the Spirit, if you preach in the Spirit, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you do it in the flesh, if you do it for any other reason other than submission to the Holy Ghost, you don't get credit for that. That's the X factor. It is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He's reminding us, you want to get ready for the rapture? You need to get to the place where you don't have anything between you and the Savior and ask God the Holy Spirit to fill you with the Holy Spirit of God. I'd like to expound on that, but I got to go further. First of all, we ought to be ready in relationship to the saints. You ought to be ready in relationship to the Holy Spirit. But then he said that he distributed to those 1-5, 1-2, 1-1 talents. And when he came back, he held them accountable for their stewardship. They didn't own it. Thank God you've got a beautiful home. You may have a deed to it. You may have worked hard to pay it off soon. Or you may pay cash for it. And you've got the title to your home and a deed to the land, everything. And you say, this is mine. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything you and I have belongs to Him. Whether we acknowledge it or not, it really does. It really does belong to Him. And everything you've got, He entrusted to you. Your mental faculty, whatever gifts you may have. We were talking about before the memorial service the other night for Dollar's mother. We were sitting back there and listening to Ms. Brenda play the piano. And we just marveled at how she can do that. She's got a gift. Can I tell you, and I testify, I'm going to be guilty of a lot of things when I get to heaven, but not the fact that I didn't play the piano, because I certainly don't have that gift. I wish I did. But God gave her that gift. She used it for the glory of God. Cabot playing the bass. And whatever it is, we've got great teachers. But whatever God's got for you to do, He's entrusted some things to you, and you're accountable for your stewardship of your abilities, of your time, and of your resources, money. You know, people are scared to death of an audit from the IRS, and I are one of them. I don't, Robert takes good care of me, but I'm still, you know, there's somebody you don't want knocking on your door. You just don't want it. But yet you think about it. They can go back and understand 7 years. And they can hold you accountable for everything you've done with your money for the last 7 years. But did you know that everything you have, every dime that's come through your hand, belong to the Lord? And you're accountable for what you've done with that for your whole lifetime. For your whole lifetime, you're accountable for whether you gave your tithe, whether you gave to missions. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to go to heaven. But I'm just telling you, from what I read in this passage of Scripture today, He holds us accountable for our stewardship. And if we're going to be ready to meet Him, we better make sure everything's ready. In every area of our life, our stewardship of our gifts, our talents, our time, and our treasures, He holds us accountable. You know, Brother T.D. talked about it. He laughed. When you get talking about money, people get real quiet. You've been pretty quiet all day. But I remember the story. Brother Mays Jackson was such a great friend. He got in a big way preaching one night, and he said, "I'm going to tell you right now, God laid on your heart to give $100 to this meeting. And if you don't give that $100, your mule may die before daylight." And Brother Mays said, he don't know why in the world he said that. But he said, about midnight, a little after midnight, he was sitting in the motel to knock at the door. And he went there, and this fellow was standing there, and he was almost trembling. And he said, "Brother Mays, here's $100. He said, "Well, I appreciate that, brother. You could have waited till the meeting tomorrow night." He said, No. He said, "You said tonight, if God laid on your heart to give $100 and you don't give it, your mule might die before midnight." He said, "My mule died a while ago." He said, "Well, you could have still waited to give the dollar." He said, "No, I got two mules. Take this dollar. Take this $100 bill." He didn't want to lose both of them. You're accountable for what you do with your money. You're accountable for what you do with your time. You're accountable. And God, you know, keeps all the records. Are you ready? Are you ready to face Him with what you've been doing financially? What you've been doing faithfully for the house of God, for the people of God? Are you ready in regard to your relationship to the Holy Spirit of God? Those are just some areas of readiness. Here's the wonderful thing. I heard Him say something in the latter part of that passage I read to you. He said to the one with the 5 talents, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And the 2, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." There is a happy day. All you have to do is be faithful to Him. All you have to do is love Him. Give your life. It's not going to hurt you. It's going to be the happiest time of your life. I love that old song we used to sing, "Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." That's where the happy life is at. That's where the real joy is at. Give to Him your all in relation to the saints, in relation to the Holy Spirit, in relation to stewardship. Will you bow with me for prayer this morning? I pray the Holy Ghost of God spoke to your heart. And while I've not dealt a great deal about salvation, I mentioned it in passing, there were 5 foolish virgins who had no oil. And matter of fact, I guess the saddest words in all the Bible were spoken to these 5 foolish virgins. Not the fact that they didn't have any oil, but He made the statement, "I never knew you." The Bible says at the judgment, there'll be some that He'll say, "I never knew you." Does He know you? Oh, He's omniscient. He knows everybody by name. He knows everybody by your creation, knows every hair on your head. But that "no" there means I've never had the right relationship with you. You never repented of your sin. You never became born again by the grace of God. You rejected my Son, and therefore I don't know you. Have you been saved? Do you know that heaven's your home? And Brad asked us this morning, we washed in the blood, and so many raised their hand. I couldn't tell who did and who didn't, but it's a great sea of hands here this morning. But are you saved? I wish I could tell you that you'd have a long time to get saved. I wish I could tell teenagers you can just wait and make up your mind, but you can't do that. Your life may be cut short, but one thing's for sure, if Jesus Christ comes today, if you're not saved, you don't get to go in the rapture. And I didn't emphasize it, but I believe the Word of God teaches if you, in this age of grace, when you have opportunity to be saved, you don't get saved, you'll never be saved. He'll send them strong delusions that they might all be damned who believed not the truth. You have a chance to believe today that Jesus died for you and respond in faith and ask Him. Friends in the internet and radio and friends here in the building, if you've never been saved, salvation's a free gift. Would you like to have Jesus come in your heart? Would you be willing to turn from your sin and turn to the Savior? I'm telling you, He's as real as I am. He's in this building right now, in the person of the Holy Spirit of God, and He knows you. He's right there by you, and if you'll ask Him to forgive you of your sin and come in, I promise you He'll do it on the authority of the Word of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I encourage you to do that. Dear Christian, ready. I want to emphasize the readiness of it. How do you balance up with the Lord in relationship to the people of God? Are you an exhorter? Are you an encourager? Do you love the saints of God? Do you pray for them? Have you forgiven every sin, every unfaithfulness? Is all that slate clean? I believe He'll hold us accountable when He comes. We need to be ready in our relationship to the saints of God. Every believer, man, woman, boy, and girl who's saved has the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, but He wants you to be filled, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Do you yield to Him? Are you sensitive to Him? Have you allowed Him to direct your path? Are you obedient to Him when He prompts you to speak to somebody or to make a phone call or to write a letter? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? And then what about your stewardship of your time and your talent and your treasure? When He comes, you'll be accountable for all of those areas. Now, I can tell you this, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all of our sins. So what's gone in the past, the tithes that's not been given, the mission's not been given, the offering's not been given, ask God to forgive you and be faithful to Him in the future. When you've been making excuses for not serving Him, and yet He will enable you to do what He wants you to do, ask Him to forgive you for that in the past, and ask Him to use you now, help Him to direct your step and obey Him every day of your life. Be faithful to Him. Let's stand, if you will, please, with your heads bowed, eyes are closed. Not keep you long this morning. I want to encourage you to be back tonight, 6:30 for the singer to be here. I want you to come. I've never heard them. They're with Brother Tom Wagner this morning. But I think you'll be blessed tonight if you'll come. It's a huge crowd of them, about 10 of them, I think, family. I believe they'll be a blessing to you. Call, invite friends. But right now, Jesus may come before then. And I just wonder if there's some of the saints of God who need to slip around this altar and say, well, God, I want to be ready. And I want you to do business with God, whether you come to this altar or you stay right where you are. I want it to be real for you. In 2019, I want to be ready. I want to be right with the saints of God. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be a good steward. I want to pray, and Brother Brad's going to sing just a verse or two of a song. I invite you to come get around the altar. I believe Christians ought to always lead the way, but if you're here and you're not saved this morning, sure love to see you get saved. Heavenly Father, I pray right now the Holy Ghost of God would deal with people drawn by Your grace. I pray, God, that God's people, Lord, would be responsive. And God, help us to live in light of the return of the Lord. The grace of God's appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously in this present wicked world. Lord, looking for that blessed hope. We're looking forward to it, looking forward to You coming. God, help us to live in anticipation of that day. And then, Father, I pray, God, that, Lord, for those who don't know Christ, God, please, oh, God, I pray for the Holy Ghost of God to convict them, God, that they might be saved.